We are finishing up. Let's see if I can get through this without sounding like a junior higher. We are finishing up on a 5-week series called Thanksgiving. Two words, Thanksgiving. Thanks, an expression of gratitude and giving to freely hand over. Thanksgiving, to freely hand over as an expression of thanksgiving, as an expression of gratitude, of gratefulness. So we're talking about a few things. We talked about a few things through the series that we hand over as an expression of gratitude, that that because of Jesus's offer of salvation, we worship him. Because of his sacrifice, because we are able to be redeemed, we share in this, as David shared, in that thankful cup there as we remember and of how we've been redeemed. We share with each other in thankfulness. And as we're thankful for each other, that affects how we act towards each other and towards each other. And when we have Thanksgiving living, we live differently because we're thankful. We respond to God out of a grateful heart, and that results in action. That results in behavior change. That results in thankfulness that is seen. Thankfulness that reflects outwardly. Let's go to start this morning off. Today's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to read a lot. Okay, a lot of scripture. I tried to filter it down a little bit, but there's just some really, really cool stuff. It's not all going to be up on the screen, but you'll have references in your bulletin. So if you want to go and check this out in Leviticus chapter 7, I'm not even going to touch this because I've got some other things to get on, but I wanted to bring up something for you, and this will be our first note. There's an offering that you give to thank God, and it is called, drumroll, a thank offering. It's going to write that down. That's in Leviticus chapter 7. That's in the Old Testament. That's in the law. And so they had a certain type of offering that they could give to God. And he lays out the regulations in Leviticus 7. Those particular pieces aren't important for us today. I just wanted us to understand that there was a thank offering that was given in the Old Testament. And we don't talk about a lot of the Old Testament, the offerings, different things, because we don't need the sacrificial offerings that happened in the Old Testament. They had an offering for this, an offering for that, an offering for that. And Jesus covered all of that with one offering. So we don't have to worry about the offerings that were for sin or the scapegoat. Where's Isaiah? we heard someone, a professional person, a lawyer this week say a scapegoat. And we're like, really? You're educated. Anyway, so a scapegoat. But there's an offering in the midst of all those other offerings mentioned in Leviticus chapter 7 that's called a thank offering. And it's just simply that. It's just an offering that if you want to thank God for something, then here's the offering that you give. Here's what you do. And so I wanted to explore this because I think that's really cool. And we don't, have any of you guys ever heard of the thank offering? One, two, a couple, you know, a few people. It's not talked about very much. And as I dug a little bit, I was like, man, this is a pretty cool thing. This shouldn't stay in the Old Covenant. Shouldn't stay in the Old Testament. So in the book of Psalms, we see a number of places where David and the other psalm writers, some of these other mystery guys and gals, we're not so sure who wrote all of them, but in the book of Psalms, there are a number of different places where these thank offerings come up. And so this is where the reading part's going to come. We're just going to take notes on these. And then Psalms are, they're poetry. They're very emotional. And sometimes when you're reading along, it's very cognitive. So I want you to just listen to them. So we're going to write the note, and then I want you to listen where the note comes from. And that's why we're going to have a bunch of readings. So I'm going to be very careful not to talk too much. So there's some passages in Psalms where thank offerings are used. Psalm 50, which is kind of funny. Of all the Psalms I'm bringing up, none of them are 75, which is one that that David brought up. So Psalm 50, we read that thank offerings matter to God. Let's write that down. Thank offerings matter to God. The writer says, listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against your concerning for your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need for a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal in the forest is mine. So God's saying, you know, you bring these offerings, it's not for me. I don't need them. I have a cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Then he says this, God speaking through the psalmist, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. It's like all these other offerings, I don't need them. They're for our relationship. They're for you guys. But then he gets to the bottom of this and he says, the offering that really matters to me is the thank offering. That one you bring. And I thought that was pretty interesting to see that that's a big deal. A little further down into chapter 50, we read that thank offerings help us to stay focused on God. I'm just going to write that down. Thank offerings help us to stay focused on God. He says, consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the series, that when we're constantly thanking God, it keeps him in the forefront of our minds. And right here he says, if you forget about me, that's not good. But those of you guys who, so it's kind of a this side of the coin, if you forget about me, it's not good. On the other side of the coin, the people that give thank offerings, they honor God. And so that's a flip side of forgetting. So you're giving a thank offering, and that keeps God in the forefront of your minds. Psalm 54 talks about how thanking God for the psalmist was offering a thank offering because of a difficult time he went through. So let's go and write this down. Psalm 54, thanking God for a time when he protected you from evil actions of others. And I was careful not to say evil people, because even good people can have evil actions. So, and God protects us from the evil actions of others. And so we thank God for some of those times. Psalm 54, he says, save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. How many people feel like this is relating? I don't have to do anything to translate this to life. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will give a thank offering because you took care of me through this. I will praise your name, God, or Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. And so the psalmist is writing about how he's got all these difficult people around him, and yet God helped him through it. And he says, I want to offer a thank offering to you. I'm going to give a freewill offering to you in remembering that you've taken care of me in this situation. Psalm 56, let's write this down. Thanking God for guidance through a rough or difficult or traumatic time. Psalm 56 says, be merciful to me, my God. For my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose words I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this, I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God, I trust. I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? I'm under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling. So right there, you list all these troubles, these difficulties, and then he says, I want to give you thank offerings because you delivered me, you kept my feet from stumbling, you gave me guidance, you walked me through these times. Sometimes God will rescue us through times from times. Sometimes he'll lead us through them, and we still have to go through the difficult times, but he's there with us. And so he gives a thank offering for those times. I like this one, and is this one? No, there was another one I had to chop up because it was so long. This one's, I believe this one's it. No, it's not. So I chopped up another one. So Psalm 66, and this one's a cool one. This is just in celebration of God's awesomeness. God's pretty cool, huh? Yeah? Yeah, okay. We can break the third wall here. Okay, I think it's really cool. He says in Psalm 66, shout for joy to the Lord or to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? Everybody say that. Say, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. This psalm sounds like it was written in the 80s, doesn't it? Awesome. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. And skipping down a little bit into that psalm, he says, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. So thank offerings for God's awesomeness. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. That's a cool psalm. So sometimes the thank offering was just given out of just celebration of how awesome God was. And it's a proclamation. So write this one down, Psalm 116. Give thanks because God heard a cry for help and he acted. God heard a cry for help and he acted. He says, I love the Lord. For he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangle me, the anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. And the Lord is gracious and righteous, and God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. Pretty cool, huh? And call on the name of the Lord. I cried out to you and you were there and you heard and you responded. And so he says, I bring a thank offering. What should I do? And then it skips down a few verses and you get to the answer, what should I do? I want to offer a thank offering. Psalm 107. This is the one I had to cut up a bunch. So we give joyous thanks. And this is a mouthful, for God's unfailing love, a love that endures forever, a love that gives salvation. I encourage you to check out Psalm 107. I'm just going to be able to hit a couple verses through it and jump around. Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of their darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And so I'm skipping into different places of this psalm. All the way down in 19, he says, "Then I cried to the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice what? Thank offerings, and tell of the works with songs of joy." It's pretty cool, huh? In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we read about a young man, a very young man named Manasseh. And Manasseh was, do we have any? Judah's close. He's almost 14, but he's 13. We don't have anyone younger than Judah then, do we? Are they all downstairs? Okay. So Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king of Israel. And he followed a really good, his dad was a really good guy. His grandfather was not so much. But he was king for 55 years, starting at the age of 12. And we're told that he followed after the footsteps of his grandfather, not his father. He was a bad king, a really bad king. He was awful. We're told that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and that's never a good thing when you're reading in the Chronicles of the Kings. When that's said about you, it's not good. He built all kinds of altars and places of worship to all sorts of foreign gods. He did so all over Israel, all over Jerusalem. And he did so in the holy places that were designated to God. On the holy hills, he'd move aside the altar for God and put a place there to worship Baal or the Asherah poles. And even in the very temple of God, he had moved aside a reminder that God was there for them and he would not remove them from the land. And he was like, yeah, we don't need that. And he put an altar there of forms of worship things. What am I thinking about? Not emblems, but idols. Yes, I'm trying to think of things to use to worship other gods. So there was a word there that escaped me. He was even so deep into all these pagan gods, he sacrificed his own children in the fire for these practices of worship, these worship practices. He dabbled in fortune tellers. He practiced witchcraft. I told you, he was a bad guy. He just wasn't good at all. He sought omens. He consulted mediums and spiritists. Manasseh led the kingdom of Judah astray with his leadership, and we're told in 2 Chronicles 39 or 33, verse 9, but Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. That's rough. That's a bad report. So God allowed them to be attacked. They had just witnessed the northern kingdom, Israel, had fallen to Assyria, and they just watched that happen somewhat recently. And so God, he didn't let them get taken over yet, but he let them get attacked. And in that attack, they took Manasseh prisoner. And we're told they put a hook in his nose and shackles on his feet to keep him captive. And shackles on your feet is one thing, but if you got a hook in your nose, you're not going to go anywhere. That would not be very comfortable at all. So while he is there, he comes to a senses. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom. He comes to a senses and he repented. And we're told that he humbles himself greatly before God, and God pays attention to this. God sees it and he understands that it is sincere. And so God was moved, and so God brought him back to Jerusalem, back to Judah. And Manasseh undid all of the evil that he had done, removing all of the altars and the places of worship that he built to these other gods. We read this in verse 16. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and what? Thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord and the God of Israel, or serve the Lord, the God of Israel. So Manasseh repented, and God responded. And that resulted in a thank offering. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for your unfailing love, your love that endures forever, your love that provides salvation. And so he made a thank offering. Manasseh was a mess, but then he repented. And he turned to God, and God saved him. Now, Manasseh's grandfather was just an awful king as well, Ahaz. He brought a lot of this stuff in, very similar like what Manasseh did. But in between the two, Manasseh's dad, Hezekiah, the son, and this is one of those examples where sometimes, you know, you can be the best parent you can, and kids are still, you know, so there's some parents that have a lot of guilt, and they're like, man, what did I do wrong? You know what? Sometimes kids just go their way as adults, and thankfully Manasseh found his way back. Ahaz, not a good king at all, but then from a bad king comes a really good king, Hezekiah. So when Hezekiah became king, he undid everything that his dad did, Ahaz, and they cleaned everything up, and he had restored the kingdom of Judah to God. And after he had cleaned the house, and after he had done all the things, undid all the stuff that his dad did, Manasseh's grandfather, Hezekiah's father, then they gather and they offer a sin offering on behalf of the sins of Judah under the leadership of his father Ahaz. It says this: when the offerings were finished, okay, these were the sin offerings, they were seeking God's forgiveness, God's restoration. When the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and worshiped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed and worshiped. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord." So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. And I did these out of order a little bit. You know, if you notice, the Psalms were in order, but then I moved 107 to be the last psalm, because that was the psalm that talks about how God's unfailing love, God's enduring love, his love that endures forever, that a love that provides salvation, and we give thank offerings. The psalmist gave a thank offering because of that love. And we saw Manasseh, who repented, and God listened, and he gave a thank offering because he was restored. And we go to his dad, and this one was very specific, and that's why I wanted to kind of funnel down to this one. So Hezekiah, they offered sin offerings. And after the sin offering was viewed as acceptable, then they offered a thank offering for God's salvation, for God's mercy, for God's grace. So I want us to think about that in ourselves as we reflect. How do we come to God? I mean, I've shared my story before. I came from kind of the other side of the tracks. I was 17 when I became a Christian. I was not a Christian. You know, my wife, she was raised in church. She became a Christian. It's a different stories. So when she became a Christian, it was a kind of a merge onto the highway type thing. For me, it was a U-turn. But either way, you're making a dedication and saying, this is what I want to do. For me, it was more like a Manasseh situation. For some of you, you might be similar to that. Then there's other of you that might be more like Hezekiah, where you've accepted the sin offering, and our sin offering was who? Right? Jesus. And you give a thank offering. Thank you for saving me. You know, we don't have any of those other offerings mentioned in the Old Testament. That's why we don't talk about him anymore, because they're obsolete. Because Jesus covered all that. But, you know, the thank offering from my understanding, as much as I could find out about it, there's not a whole lot said about regulations on it. We see more about how it's used than the regulations. In my understanding, the thank offering wasn't a required offering. It was just, hey, if you want to give a thank offering, here's what you do. Here are the guidelines. Here's what you do in Leviticus chapter 7. But it was a free will offering. As mentioned in one of the Psalms I read, it wasn't called the thank offering. It was called a free will offering. It wasn't required. It was just, thank you, God. Thank you so much. You know, our harvest offering is coming up next Sunday. And I want to challenge you, and I want to bring a whole new element to the idea of giving and offering to all of us this morning, and the idea of this thank offering. Every year, and if you guys are new here to us, just share with you guys, every year we do two special offerings that are above and beyond. Our Easter offering goes towards something here in our church to kind of, you know, update it, bring it up. All the stuff that's going out, done out front, you know, all the new stuff that's coming. We have the stairs. Those look awesome, don't they? Yeah, that's looking really good. That looks really good. And all of that was an Easter offering. So that's one offering we do. But then we do another offering in November, and we give it as a harvest offering, a thank offering of sorts. And it's kind of funny that we've never attached a thank offering to this. And so when I was looking through this, I was like, man, we missed this. This is really cool to connect this. So every year our harvest offering goes to a missionary. Often it goes to a missionary that we already support. There have been a few that have gone to other mission-oriented type things. But every year that harvest offering goes to something outside of our church. Into the kingdom somewhere else. So this year's harvest offering is going to one of the three missions that we support. It's going to Living Water in Haiti. Solonique down there has been doing an awesome job, and they've got a new school down there in Highland Village. And Walt's not here with it. He's an ICOM. Is this their fourth, isn't it? Because they have the one school in Gonaives, which is their main campus. That was the first one they started. Then they went up to Marmalade, and they've got a school up in Marmalade. And then they've got the school at where we put the roof on the building, White Mountain. White's Hill is right here. White Mountain, and then this new one in Highland Village. I don't know if there's another one. I tried to check their website, but they don't have as much information there. They only have the two. So they're a little behind on those. I believe this is the fourth school that they've started down there. And what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to install a computer lab, which is pretty awesome. These people don't have roofs, you know. The goats are cute as they can be down there. I got over my fear of goats just by going to Haiti. But they all have big triangles on their neck. And I was like, what are these big triangles? And they're like tobacco poles type thing. I don't think they have tobacco poles down there, but one by twos. And they're just a triangle around their neck. Like, why do they all have triangles around their necks? You know, and they just all look pitiful to begin with. And they're pitiful with, you know, this triangle around their neck. It's to keep them from coming in your house. Because the triangle hits the sides of the doors. Because they don't have doors. So instead of doors, they put triangles on their necks. And so Solonique's got this vision. He's like, hey, we need a computer lab for these kids. We need to open the world to these kids. It's just awesome. So we're partnering with them, and that's what our harvest offering is going towards this year. Is their goal is $25,000. And I'm not putting that on us, but sometimes our harvest offerings, we can put a big dent in that. I know, because you guys are amazing with things like that. But that's what he's wanting to do, and that's the goal. And he's looking for a lot of churches to participate and give into that. So that's our harvest offering. So let me bring all this together, and you guys know where I'm going already. And so my challenge to you is, and it's not about a dollar amount. You know, that's not important. And God said, you know, hey, you bring those bowls, you think I'm hungry? You know, I'm not thirsty, and it's not that, you know, I want all this. It's not like, you know, when we give, God's got it. The giving's a lot more for us than it is for him. And God uses that. So what I want you to do, and that hopefully you took notes this morning. So look back down in your bulletin there. Look back down in your notes. I want you to look at those things, those different examples. And those, I mean, we're not limited to that. Those are just samples of what we see in the book of Psalms of how and when a thank offering was used by someone who was familiar with a thank offering, which we're very unfamiliar. So, you know, you go to someone who's got some experience and you learn from them. You know, we understand thank offerings matter to God. They were important to God. I don't know if that would have changed from Old Testament and New Testament. I mean, thanking God's thanking God. And we thank God for a time when he protected us from the evil actions of others. You know, maybe something like that's happened recently for you. Or maybe God has given you guidance through a tough or difficult or traumatic time. Or maybe you just simply want to give a thank offering because you've just been in this season where you're just experiencing it, seeing how awesome God is over and over and over. And just God is just so awesome. And maybe that's a motivation behind a thank offering. Maybe as we prepare to give our harvest offering, and we know it's going to go towards a great cause, but maybe we can stack onto that another great cause and turn our harvest offering into a thank offering for all of us this year. And bring that into it as well. Then I want to reflect on some things that God has done for me in my life. You know, we bring the tithe. We've talked about that. You bring the tithe. That's 10%. That belongs to God anyway. You bring the tithe. You give an offering. An offering is above. It's beyond. And we don't sacrifice things now. That's not what we do. What do? We give. We give. Financially, material. That's our offering. That's how we give in this time, this era. And so let me challenge you. Let's add something more to that. It's got a great purpose. It's going to a great thing. We know that. It's going to support and do some awesome things for the kingdom. Let's add something on the back end to make it even better. And let's look at this as a thank offering. That I'm going to give this money for this, but I'm going to do it because I'm thankful for something very specific. I'm thankful God saved me. I'm thankful he delivered me from some recent something that's happened, or he's given me guidance, or he's just so awesome that I want to thank him. Maybe he heard your cry for help and he responded. You know, maybe something on that list, maybe it's something that's not on that list, but that list at least gets you started thinking. And maybe this goes beyond our harvest offering this year. You know, how cool would it be to bring a thank offering just every so often when it hits you, right? And say, you know, here's what I bring. I bring the tithe. That's regular. That's planned. And God does something really cool in your life, and you thank him. And what if you say, thank you with a thank offering? I'm not saying it because we need it. You guys have been doing awesome. You're bringing the tithe. That's taking care of things. But how cool would it be for us to take that Old Testament concept and bring it into our life now? Because when you add, when you put an action to something, it seems to hit and connect more, right? Yes? I just realized when I was playing piano, I was like, oh man, I forgot to put my wedding band on, you know? You go to weddings, they put a ring on each other's finger, and that action, it means something. It's potent, it's important. You know, when we give our life to Christ, we're baptized into Christ, and that means something. It's very important. We take communion, that's an action, it's very important. So when we're thankful to God, if we're thankful to God, that's awesome. But what would it do? And this is a new thing for me too, because this whole thank offering thing, I stumbled across it and I was like, why haven't I heard about this? I went to Bible college. I've been a minister here for 16 years. I might have heard little whispers of it, a little something or other here and there, but I haven't really dug into it. And I was like, man, this is a cool concept. Well, what if we resurrect that in our hearts and be able to have some times where we say, you know what? Thank you so much, God. I want to give something to say thank you. Because when we part with something that means something to us, like money, then that connects at a deeper level. We give God thanks, a thank offering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in this section, actually I should have included a larger section than that. Paul reminds the Corinthians that their generous financial gift resulted in expressions of thanks to God. And you can go and read that for yourself. I wanted to focus in on reading a bunch of the Psalms, so I neglected some of these other ones. So you guys, the scripture's there, you can read it for yourself. And so we understand that Paul's saying, hey, when you guys gave, all these people that received it, they were thankful. You know, when we give to our harvest offering, the mission in Haiti, they're going to be thankful. Those kids are going to be thankful. What's cool about this idea of a thank offering and adding it on this side, let's write this down. Our offering and giving to the Lord, if we're doing it as a thank offering, then it begins and ends with thanksgiving to God, with giving thanks to God. Isn't that cool? It starts with saying, God, I thank you, and I'm going to do this for you because I thank you. And then the money gets used in the kingdom, and it comes down here to Go Naives, or it's going to be going to Highland Village. And it goes into that school, and all of a sudden, they've got computers in their computer lab. And we've got the people that are serving in that mission, and they're saying, thank you, God. Is that cool? And that right there, this understanding will result in cheerful givers. Let's write that down. And we know in that same passage from 2 Corinthians, which you have to go up a few more verses from 11, that's why I should have expanded that out, that God loves a cheerful giver. And if we're giving because we're thankful, I can't think of anything else that would bring more cheer to that. You know, he says, not out of obligation. If I'm giving a free will offering out of thanksgiving, that's not out of obligation. It's not because the law tells me to do it. It's not because someone pressured me into it. No, it's because God did something awesome and special. And I gave out of my heart, and I gave by saying thank you. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all the different things that you've set up for us. Throughout scripture, there are all sorts of little nuggets. I love gaining new understanding on things, and it's not for a lack of studying. It's just there's so much in your word, and there's always something to grow on and something to learn more about and something to apply. And I think sometimes in different seasons of our life, we see different things differently. It doesn't mean that the truth is different. It just means our ability to receive it changes from time to time. Father, I thank you so much for this concept of a thank offering, and that you laid it down years and years and years and years ago, that if you want to give thanks to me, here's a way you can do it. Father, I pray that as we prepare as a church for our harvest offering, and not just our harvest offering, but throughout the year, as we express thanks to you, that this would be another avenue that we could add to that. That we could use this as a way of worshiping you beyond trusting you by giving the tithe. That's a whole different concept, a whole different understanding. But beyond that trust, but to just give a thank offering and a thank you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.